I admired her solution, leaving me in charge of determining if the evidence was relevant. Very neat. It had a very hairy feel to it, like leaving a loaded gun on the table in front of a guilty friend and walking away, knowing that guilt would pull the trigger and save the city the cost of a trial. In Harry's world, a man's conscience couldn't live with that kind of shame. But as Harry had known very well, his world was long dead, and I didn't have any conscience, shame, or guilt. All I had was a CD with a few pictures on it. And of course, those pictures made even less sense than a conscience. There had to be some explanation that didn't involve Dexter driving a truck around Miami in his sleep. Of course, most of the drivers on the road seemed to manage it, but they were at least partially awake when they started out, weren't they? And here I was, all bright-eyed and cheerfully alert, and not at all the kind of guy who would ever prowl the city and kill unconsciously. No. I was the kind of guy who wanted to be awake for every moment of it. And to get right down to the bottom line, there was the night on the causeway. It was physically impossible that I could have thrown the head at my own car, wasn't it? Unless I had made myself believe that I could be in two places at once, which made a great deal of sense, considering that the only alternative I could come up with was believing that I only thought I'd been sitting there in my car watching someone else throw the head, when in fact I had actually thrown the head at my own car, and then... No. Ridiculous. I couldn't ask the last few shreds of my brain to believe in this kind of fairy tale. There would be some very simple, logical explanation, and I would find it. And even though I sounded like a man trying to convince himself that there was nothing under the bed, I said it out loud. "There is a simple, logical explanation," I said to myself. And because you never know who else is listening, I added, "And there is nothing under the bed." But once again, the only reply was a very meaningful silence from the dark passenger. In spite of the usual cheerful bloodlust of the other drivers, I found no answers on the drive home. Or to be perfectly truthful, I found no answers that made sense. There were plenty of stupid answers, but they all revolved around the same central premise, which was that all was not well inside the skull of our favorite monster, and I found this very hard to accept. Perhaps it was only that I didn't feel any crazier than I had ever felt. I didn't notice any missing gray tissue. I didn't seem to be thinking any slower or more strangely. And so far, I'd had no conversations with invisible buddies that I was aware of. Except in my sleep, of course. And did that really count? Weren't we all crazy in our sleep? What was sleep, after all, but the process by which we dumped our insanity into a dark subconscious pit and came out on the other side ready to eat cereal instead of the neighbor's children? And aside from the dreams I'd had, everything made sense. Someone else had thrown the head at me on the causeway, left a Barbie in my apartment, and arranged the bodies in intriguing ways. Someone else, not me. Someone other than dear, dark Dexter. And that someone else was finally captured, right here, in the pictures on this CD. And I would look at the pictures and prove once and for all that it looked very much like the killer might be me? Good, Dexter. Very good. I told you there was a logical explanation. Someone else who was actually me. Of course. That made wonderful sense, didn't it?